So last chance really is talking eventually about the world and about America. And we sense, especially since the pandemic, we have heard more in recent years and recent months about end times. But that's really not where we ought to be as a Christian. In Matthew 24, 6, 8, is a message that's very clear to us, but it has to be experienced by a believer. And I think every one of you that are sitting here are believers, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You would be doing something else. You'd be at the beach, or you might be golfing, or you might be sleeping in. But you're here because this is where God wanted you to be today. 1 month ago, when Pastor Dave called me up and asked if I would do this, I immediately answered with the idea in mind that, yeah, I have ample time to prepare a message that the Lord will deliver to me that I can deliver to you. And he did. I began focusing on this whole idea of beginning, not end. But what has been interesting is that over the past 4 weeks, with the development that has transpired with the invasion and attack against Israel, it has been most difficult to stay true to the word that God wanted me to share with you. So, like I said, there in Matthew are these words. There's wars and rumors of wars. This must take place. The scripture says that will indeed take place. I have lived a life that experienced multiple wars. And some of you have experienced that same wartime as I have. But this is the most recent of wars, and it's one of those wars that must take place. Wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, there will be earthquakes, there will be fires, there will be floods, there will be pestilence, there will be unrest. Isn't that true? Because we've experienced it. Every one of those things. We've had an experience maybe with fire or with flood, or we hear of one nation coming against another, just like it is today. And so we need to realize that this unrest is all part of God's plan for us, even though we may not focus on it in that particular way. In 1 Peter, in chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "The end of things is near." The end of things is near. It's not here, but it's near. How is it near? We turn on the television, or we read in the newspaper, or we hear over our phone, or a multitude of ways to hear it. We hear media giving their opinion of what's going on in the world. But we hear no rhetoric that includes the Word of God. Have you heard of any commentator recently that's talking about Jesus? No. Do you see it in your newspapers? No. We have to take the responsibility to look upon God's Word and realize that it is indeed His truth. nothing more. It's true. And he wants us to abide by it. In Acts of the Apostles, there's 28 chapters in the Acts of the Apostles, but there is a new chapter to the book of Acts, Acts 29. That's you and me, and all who have existed since the apostles were at work telling the people of Jesus. So, this whole idea of last chance is basically not about the end. It's about the very beginning. Let's pause for a moment, shall we? Father God, we seek the anointing of your Spirit, not only to be upon the words that you've allowed me to share, but upon the words that you want the people to hear. So may your anointing be upon the messenger and the hearer. To that end, we give you the praise. So here's the real title of the message. If this would be the last time to speak to you, and it could be the last time to speak to you, this is what I would say. And you will see as we unfold this message that these are from God. We began by looking at the book of Jeremiah and the prophet Jeremiah. But in verse 7 of the first chapter, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Speak to all who I will take you to." That same message is to me, and eventually to you. It says, "The Lord said, speak as I call you to all I send you to." You are those persons that God wanted me to speak to today. You are the ones who have been sent. So it's a matter of believing. And I think we need to sharpen our ability to believe in the coming days and weeks and years that may be left. We need to be more aware by believing in His Word. In John 14:1, it says, "Believe in God, believe also in me," meaning Jesus. That's who we are to believe in. That is the rescuer. That is the person that's going to move us from where we are to where He eventually wants us to be. We're very familiar with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Me shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That message isn't for the world, it's for you. It's for me, eventually for the world. But is the world really experiencing what the intention of God was? I don't think so. I really don't think so. In Acts 16, in 31, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So it all is a matter of believing. Now, let me take you to Jeremiah 1 and the verses there, beginning at verse 5. I don't know whether you heard this or not, but it's God said to Jeremiah, the prophet to be, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Let me go on a little bit with that before we focus on it fully. Before your birth, I consecrated you. And after your birth, I appointed you. In this case, he appointed Jeremiah as the prophet. And then why? There was a purpose from the Father, a purpose for Jeremiah to be who he became. Now go back and hear those same words about you and me. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. You hear that? Before we were in our mother's womb, he knew us. That means before anything, God knew you and knew me and had a plan for my life and your life. And so once you were born, you were consecrated, maybe knowingly but not knowingly. After you were born, you were appointed to do certain things. You were put on this earth for a purpose, the purpose being to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can I speak these? Because he said to Jeremiah, I command you to speak. He said to me, I command you, I give you the authority to speak what you are to speak. Now let's take a look at the lesson out of 139 and look at verses 13, 16. I think you need to realize that Jeremiah experienced the same thing that you and I experienced. We were knit together in our mother's womb. There were days planned for you and for me that were yet not known. And there were none of those things available to us at that point. But then we were born. Jonathan Cahn, the one that wrote Bible Mysteries, refers to being born into this fleshly existence as being born into the womb of heaven. And so it's here that you and I are preparing for that eternal event. And so we need to be aware that there's only two choices, hell or heaven. And so in believing, you're hopefully headed in the direction of the heavenlies and are taking time to look at the purpose for which you were born. When in the womb, these things took place. He said that he knows us. He also said he knows when we sit or rise up or even our thoughts before we were born, and especially after we are born. The thoughts that you're hearing today are His thoughts, placed in my keeping to deliver to you. He knows our path. He knows when we've strayed from it and hopes to bring us back. But He knows our path. His hand is upon you and upon me. This is just beyond our understanding. It's beyond our willingness or even ability to understand that. In the Sunday school, we talked about fear of God, and we translated that to the awesome God that He is. For He is awesome. If He knows all of that, He knows all about you, He knows all about me. He is an awesome God. And one thing we need to realize, that when we pass from this earthly flesh into the heavenly spirit of being with Him, none of what we experience here will be experienced there. It'll be all brand new. So you see, we're justified by faith. It's the truth of God's Word. Now, you're all familiar with Paul, but you're also familiar who Paul was. He was Saul. He had papers to search out the people that were on the way, learning of Christ and worshiping Christ. He was on his way to take those people to the Colosseum to be crucified. But then he was awakened, and Paul became the greatest apostle that ever walked the face of the earth. And we have proof of that. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, just as He chose Paul in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy, He destined us for adoption as His children in Christ. I hope you're getting the theme of this. Everything before was already in place. In Jeremiah 29:11, a very favorite verse for me, says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future with hope." What is hope? Things not yet seen. Those that we see, we don't hope for anymore. But those that we don't see are the hope. That scripture goes on to another verse where it says, "When you call upon me, I will listen to you." When we call upon Him, even in our doubting, He hears us. He will listen. He's the best counselor we ever needed. But we don't often go to Him. We try to work it out for ourselves. Now, here's an important piece of scripture that I want to share with you as we come to the end of this message. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's something that the world needs to hear, but we need to hear it as well. It says, if my people, we are his people, if my people, who are called by my name, God calls us, will continue to call us, even in those times when we don't answer, but humble themselves, pray, seek the face of God, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive your sins and heal your land. Now let me back up a minute. I want to go to that word wicked. We don't see ourselves as being wicked, but we are sinners. There's no question of that. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we might take out wicked and put sinner in there, turn from their sinning ways, and seek his face, and he'll forgive us and heal us. Not only heal the land, we know how America has fallen away from what was once the basic drive of the American people, is the Word of God. We don't hear any of that rhetoric. I mentioned it earlier. We don't hear anything that says he is in charge. In John 14:1, you heard it a little bit ago, believe in God, believe also in me. In John 14:6, it says, where Jesus is talking to Thomas, actually, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. If we expect to get to the Father, we have to go through Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We need to recognize our need for the Almighty. In another place in the Scriptures, it talks about that he who has the Son has light and life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have light and life. So I leave you with this. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace that the world cannot give, but he gives. We're going to sing as a closing hymn, Nearer, My God, to Thee. near to the heart of God. That's where I hope we are all at. For there's no better place to be. We thank the Lord for our time together. Let us pray. Father God, again we give you praise and thanks for your love unto us, for the words that you placed upon my heart, that you allowed me to deliver to these, your people, searching for that peace, and sometimes not finding it. But pray this day that you are near to our hearts, and bold in your presence with us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.